2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, it's when you go back to that verse 16, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. How is it that the Apostle Paul could go through the ministry that he went through, through the things that he went through, and not lose heart? He had a focus. He had a what we call maybe the secret to his success. He knew how to look at things which are not seen. Sounds like a paradox of terms. How can I look at something that's not seen? Well, he's talking about two different realms, isn't he? He's talking about the natural realm. He's talking about the spiritual realm. He says, for the things which are seen are temporary, but all things which are not seen are eternal. Everything you can see right now is temporary. Even the beautiful creation one day is going to be renovated by fire. Everything you can see in the natural is absolutely temporary. Nothing you can see with your natural eye is eternal. And so the Apostle Paul had the revelation of that. And as he was going through some things, and you know, later on in the same book, he bullet points a few things. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Journeys often in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen and perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that come upon me daily, the deep concern for all the churches. The Apostle Paul, you know, you look at his life and, boy, the man, to be able to stay focused, had a revelation. There was something that going through all that, you know, I look at all that, and it would be very tempting to lose heart going through some of that stuff. But he had a supernatural, divine perspective. I like the way the Bible talks about it with Jesus. I mean, you think about the stuff he went through, you know, during the persecution of his ministry, but then also the horrible crucifixion. The Bible says of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And so there was something unseen, right? You can't see joy with your natural eyes. There's a joy set before him that gave him the ability to endure. Something set. Looking at things, we don't lose heart because we're looking at things that are not seen. Beholding things that are not seen. It's the ability to be able to keep your heart fixed and to allow yourself the strength, the joy that's set before you, to keep your heart in the place where God continue to use you and bless you and be able to go through anything and have that strength. Like the Apostle Paul, list bullet pointing those things that he went through in ministry. You know, it's one of those things where I look at that list and it's like, you know, thank God the Apostle Paul can look at things not seen and be encouraged and stay steady. I can too. And so this morning, I want to kind of, the title of the message this morning is looking at things not seen, or it could be a subtitled, how to not lose heart. All right? How to not, or you could third subtitle it again, what Paul saw. All right? He's looking at things not seen, going through incredible circumstances and yet staying steady through those circumstances. He experienced the gamut of human emotion and experienced the pain, physical, you know, emotional pain and different things like that. But there was something deeper down on the inside that kept him steady that would cause him to not lose heart. So this morning, again, we're looking at things not seen, how not to lose heart, or what Paul saw. All those things would aptly describe the Word of God in this area this morning. First of all, he was seeing eternal life. It wasn't just a theory to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had a revelation. Well, we know that he was caught up into the third heaven. But he knew eternal life was not a wishful, hopeful fantasy. He knew the reality of eternal life. These were the words that he went on to say to the Corinthian church right after our opening text. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Isn't that an amazing thing? I just love the way the Apostle Paul, I mean, the reality. And this was like, you know, the Apostle Paul was not wondering if he was going to go to heaven when he died. The Apostle Paul had already been to heaven. He knew. You understand? I love what the Scripture says in 1 John. First of all, I love what it doesn't say. It doesn't say he who has the Son has religion. It says he who has the Son has life. When you get born again, you've already got eternal life. Eternal life is not something you get when you die if you believed in Jesus. No. No. You've already got it. You just change locations when the tent gives up. In other words, you were in this tent, but now you're present with the Lord. But you're still the same you. When you're born again, the old has passed away, all has become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's who you are. It's that new creation that simply goes to be with the Lord. The miracle, the change is already done. And so the Apostle Paul knew this. He saw eternal life. He saw that he's already eternal. He knew that his life was not wrapped up in the vapor of time that he had down here on earth. He saw he was bigger than that. The life in him transcended this natural life. It was something that would cause him to not lose heart. He saw it. He saw it. He could perceive it, and it made him courageous. It made him courageous in the here and now. Another powerful scripture right along these lines. 1 Corinthians 15 puts it this way. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying. That is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Corruptible puts on incorruption. Mortal has put on immortality. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your sting? Now, I've said it before like this. When we experience loss, a loss of a loved one, there is a sting of loneliness. There is a sting of wanting to be able to hold them and physically touch them. And there is a sting of a loss of fellowship, that communion that you want to have. There is a sting. But death has lost its sting. The sting that's been lost is the sting of forever. All right? It's temporary. It's a temporary time period. In other words, 99.99999% of all of our existence is going to be in the throne of grace with the people that we love. I mean, the big picture of where you are, this is an aberration right now. This is, you know, and if the Lord tarries, we're all going to die at different times. And invariably, we're going to all experience some level of that sting. But in the end, we're all together. You see, the cross doesn't just represent that I get to go to heaven and be with God when I die. The same cross represents I get to go to heaven and be with all those who I love when I die. I'm going to the same place through the same cross. Same Father, same cross. Praise God. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in Him. You know, when He put us on this earth, He put us on this earth in families like Him. He allowed us to experience family. To experience that kind of relationship. He totally knows. He totally gets us. He totally understands. I love what we were just singing about, just realizing before. He can empathize. He had, you know, Mary. It's amazing. He's on the cross. And what is he doing? He's taking care of business. you know, with John. You know, behold your son. Or, you know, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. You know, the love and the care. You see that Jesus experienced the full gamut of that understanding. You know, when Lazarus had died, we know that he waited 4 days. We know that he had a bigger plan in mind in terms of raising him from the dead, and it would be a powerful witness. We know all that. And yet, as he was in the midst of the grieving, he wept. You know, is it scriptural to weep with those who weep? Yeah, it is. And he did. He was compassionate. He understood that. He understood the ability and the importance of just the presence and just to be able to be with someone and to experience what they're experiencing and let them know that you love them. But here we see something that the death has lost its sting, that eternal sense. You see, you understand, death has not lost its sting for people who are in the world. There are people who are without hope and without God in the world still. Eternal life to them is to try to, you know, look as nice as you can and as pretty as you can for as long as you can. That's it. Man, for us, eternal life, it's already game over. I've already been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. I'm there. I've got a tent down here, temporary tent. But I'm there. And when I die, I will change locations from this tent to presence of God. But the Apostle Paul could see that. And it's very, very hard to intimidate somebody like that who just knows. They know where they came from. They know where they're going. Jesus was like that, wasn't he? He had a personality nobody could figure out because he just knew. He knew the Father. He knew where he was going. He knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. And that's like us. We know where we've come from. We've been born from God. We know where we're going. It's a thing that can help to cause you to not lose heart, but to stay steady. You know, there's a lot of things I'll say when we lead people to the Lord. I'll say, there's many things I don't understand, but there's one thing I choose to believe. You love me. And I'll tell you what, you hold that core in your core. You know, where the Apostle Peter said, who else has the words of eternal life? You know, there's some core values you're able to hold on to. One of those core things is, I am eternally alive right now. Praise God. When Brother Lawrence was on his deathbed, he was rapidly losing physical strength. And he said to those around him, I'm not dying. I'm just doing what I've been doing all my life. Doing what I expect to be doing for all eternity. What is it, they asked? I'm worshiping the God I love. You know what? It is so much. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And just those expressions of your spirit, praise God, you just go from one place to another. You're going, you're depart and you be with God. You be with the Lord. And praise God. But anyway, one of the things that the Apostle Paul saw was he saw eternity. He saw that this life on earth was just a very small part of his eternal life that he has with the Father. Romans, I believe, says that the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. I mean, right now, you know you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you're getting revelations and bits and pieces of it every day. But there's going to come a time when you're going to see the fullness unmasked by the flesh and an unrenewed mind perfectly as far as exactly who you are, what that new creation is. And praise God. It's one of those things that it's like an eternal focus, an eternal perspective that helps to keep you steady. And so the Apostle Paul had that. Not only did the Apostle Paul see that eternal life, but he could also see treasure in heaven. We're talking about looking at things not seen. There's a reason why we're down here doing what we're doing. And you gotta see some things that are not seen to help keep you steady, to help to cause you to not lose hope. And one of the things the Apostle Paul very effectively could see was he could see treasure in heaven. Jesus put it this way. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about what is it ultimately? It's doing those good works that God has ordained you to walk in. Those treasures of your life that you're storing up in heaven are the good works, the plan of God for your life, the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your life. And those things are going to be so different for every single person. It's not having to be up on a Sunday morning preaching. It's doing everything. It's, you know, being the best, you know, if it's a banker or plumber or homemaker or real estate person, whatever your vocation might be, it's doing that. Because there's a peace and a joy and a satisfaction in doing that. And when you do that, you know, you are where you are and there's influence, your light. There is fruit that you're bearing. There are things that are happening to your account. You can't even see, know, and understand. People that are watching you and are being blessed and inspired by your life when you're just doing what He's called you to do. It's an incredible thing. The Apostle Paul saw his life like that. When he was down here, everything that he did in his heart and mind, it translated to fruit, to rewards. He put it this way when he was talking to the Philippians. He says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, what I shall choose I can't tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." And so, he comes to this conclusion, okay, I'll stand on this flesh because it'll mean fruit from my labor, he says in verse 22. What was the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying, man, I am down here. You know, we go through what we go through, but realizing there is fruit that is happening. There are things that are happening, treasures in heaven. Now, when we think of treasures in heaven, you know, it's not a carnal, selfish type thing. Well, my pile's this big, your pile's that big, and I want a bigger pile than you. It's nothing like that. It's not a natural, carnal type thing. The treasure that you get to see in heaven is likely going to be the influence of the people that God used you to be there. And when you've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, the joy on their faces will not have lost their tarnish in knowing that you had a hand in getting them there. And God will let you know that you had a hand. And He used you, co-labored together with Him, seeing the fruit of the precious fruit of the earth. Praise God. You're seeing, though. Boy, that's what keeps your heart steady. Praise God. I don't lose heart. I'm seeing something. I'm dying. Yeah, persecution. Fruit. Seeing through it. Seeing the fruit. Yeah, persecutions and afflictions await me. But none of these things move me. That I might finish. I don't count my life dear to myself. That I might finish my course with joy. He's just saying, you know, the devil's going, I'm gonna take you out. I'm going to kill you. And he goes, yeah, and I'm going to preach the gospel. There is a toughness that's not natural. It's a toughness and a supernatural strength that's not a macho, egotistical thing. It comes from revelation of knowing who you are and where you've come from. Knowing that this is eternal, that this life is a vapor, and I'm down here for a reason, bearing fruit. There is nothing on this planet that has the ability to resist the outlaw in this earth than human beings who are born again and know their authority in Christ and walk out His plan for their life. You're very precious. You're very important. Your time down here is valuable to bear fruit and to realize that, man, I am down here to make a difference. And I'm going to go through and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay steady because I know that there is more fruit that God wants to bear. Now, like the Apostle Paul, he's very candid. He said, hey, I'd rather be with Christ. To die is gain, all right? It's going to be better when I'm finally there. But this is a unique slice of opportunity that I have. And I'm going to stay here. I'm not checking out early. I'm going to stay here and bear fruit. I'm going to bear fruit, all the fruit that I can, for the kingdom and for the glory of God. But to see that what you're down here has eternal significance. It has eternal consequence. It's valuable. It's important. And so here's an interesting thing too. You know, I've read this for years, and it just kind of really struck me when I read it this time. And I've heard, you know, I'll just go ahead and get it. This later in the same book, Philippians 4. It's going to talk about fruit again. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek fruit that abounds to your account. That's an amazing, very telling scripture. The Amplified puts that verse 17 like this. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulated to your account. That's strong language. In other words, when God looks, you know, you might look back at your life and say, you look back at your giving and you might think in terms of dollars and cents. Well, I gave this much and God sees fruit. God sees the impact of your giving. You know, you can't supernaturally see all. You can generally see, okay, I gave to that mission. They got so many people saved. That's a general sense, no doubt. We can see a little bit. We get a glimpse. But I thank God for the people who had sowed into Nikki Cruz's ministry back in the late 70s, early 80s. Because everything I'm doing today is fruit that's abounding toward that giving account. That provided him the opportunity to come to Eau Claire, Wisconsin and preach the gospel. To pay the gas and everything that it took to do that stuff. You know, there's a reason why the enemy is so fighting the church in the area of money. Because he knows that there is tremendous release of power when the church gets behind financially to support ministries and works of God that are doing things in the earth. Not only does it affect the kingdoms of this world, but it also affects you and blesses you personally too. The Apostle Paul was very articulate. He said, I don't seek a gift. I seek fruit that abounds to your account. Understand that. Realize that. These are different ways. It's not the only way. Giving isn't the only way. There's a lot. It's doing what God has called you to do. But these are effective ways that what you do on this planet, because once you're not here anymore, you can't give anymore. It's done. You can't follow that prompting of the Spirit to call that brother or sister. It's, you know, this is our time. This is our time to begin to bear the fruit that we can while we're here on the earth. And to make the most of every opportunity that we have, but to see that I am bearing treasure. I'm doing stuff down here that absolutely makes an impact for all eternity. Changed lives. And it's salvations, it's spiritual growth. And a lot of times we kind of think, well, I gave them this ministry and they got X number of people saved. Therefore, no, you can't even think like that. You see, if you give into a ministry that where spiritual growth is going on, and the spiritual growth that's a result of that ministry that causes somebody to step out and do what they call to do, you can't calculate it with your natural mind. It's supernatural. It's God. He does. He knows. He's the one who can keep track of the hair of your head. He can keep track of all that stuff too. It's just our job to do what God tells us to do. And we're free. Praise God. To give, whether it's your time, your finances, obeying those promptings of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. The Apostle Paul, when he was doing that, he didn't do that with a martyr's complex and poor me. No, he was seeing fruit. I'm going to stay with you guys. I'd rather be with Christ, but I'm going to hang out because it's going to be fruit that's going to abound to your account. I'm going to make a difference. Praise God. That's going to have an impact. Man, that attitude. Why couldn't he didn't lose heart? He saw the big picture. He could see supernaturally fruit abounding to their account. And then finally, the Apostle Paul gives us amazing insight into this final thing that we're going to be able to see. And to realize that there is something very tremendous coming. Not only is it a matter of just seeing eternity and seeing the treasures, but you got to realize that even though you're in this temporary kind of aberration of time in terms of your eternal existence with God in the presence of God, there is coming a time when you are going to see face to face. Seeing face to face. Apostle Paul puts it this way. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Powerful. Look at that verse 12 in the Amplified. Puts it this way. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim blurred reflection of reality, is in a riddle or an enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. Praise God. We have a lot of good why God questions on this side of glory. And we've got a lot of good insight from the Scripture. We've got revelation and insight. But you know something? Nobody understands everything. Nobody can answer all your why God questions. And if they think they can, They're probably trying to make their theology work really hard in some cases. But I'll put it, I'll just say it like this. You will know. Every question you have, you are going to know. You are going to have the answer to every question, and then some. You are going to know fully, even as you're known of God. And I'm telling you, when you know that, it can help keep you steady. It's kind of like the little kid in the grocery cart, and you know, you're at the store, and all of a sudden, little kid kind of points to some person over there and asks some question out loud, and you're kind of, honey, wait till we get home, and I'll tell you, okay? But just wait now. Or in church or wherever, it could be different little things like that. Well, it'll settle a child down. Why? Because they know that when they get home, mom or dad's going to tell them. So it's good enough for now. There are some questions that you're going to get the answer. When you get home, you'll get the answer. In the meantime, you might get some questions now while you're still in the shopping cart from Father. But there may be some that he tells you when you get home. But in either case, you're going to get the answer. You will see face to face. It can help keep you steady. It can help you to not lose heart. It's unknown and I can't know and I'll never know. Wrong. Not if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're going to know. You're going to know. You're going to know. You're going to know. You will know. It's a promise. You will know as you're known. It kind of asks the next question. How well does God know you? There is nothing, no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Amplified. And not a creature exists that is concealed from His sight, but all things are open, exposed, naked, defenseless to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He knows you thoroughly. Thoroughly and completely. And it's an amazing thing when you look at that. I've looked at this scripture before too, and when you look at this scripture, it's a picture of like this all-knowing eye perception that it can see me completely and thoroughly. And that can be kind of an intimidating thing. Do you realize there is no privacy from God? You can hide away from people. You can hide away from situations, but there's no such thing as privacy from Him. He totally knows you, totally sees you, totally gets you. He knows you completely and thoroughly. He knows the number of hairs on your head. You are going to know fully as you're known. There's one thing that you can just rest in right now. The why God questions will be answered. Right now, admittedly, yes, I admit, I know in part. I know in part. I prophesy in part. But it's not going to stay that way forever. There is coming a time. Even though I see now in a mirror dimly, then I will. But then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know just as I also am known. Praise God. Those why God questions are great. They're fine. But also understand that you're going to know. Again, it might be when you get home, you know, or you might know sooner. But you're going to know. You're going to know. I'm sure the Apostle Paul had a few questions of his own too. I don't think that I'm sure that he looked at some things and there was, you know, he's the one who God used to pen these words. You know, it was the Apostle Paul who said, for now I know in part. Now I'm seeing through a mirror dimly. It's not like we all do and Paul saw everything crystal clear. No. The Apostle Paul was the one who God used to pen these words. The Apostle Paul knew that there was a joy that was set before him too. There was going to be an understanding of all those things. All your questions are going to be answered. But in the meantime, I trust in your character. I trust in your goodness. I trust in your love. I don't have the answers now, but I will. I will. I will know everything, even as I am known. And the beautiful thing about this too, I love this because, you know, Hebrews 4:13 gives us again this picture of like this all-seeing, this all-knowing eye. But what's the conclusion that we come to? The next three verses after that, this is Hebrews 4:13. Hebrews 4:14 goes on to say, seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's an all-seeing eye, but it's not an all-seeing eye of condemnation, is it? It's an all-seeing eye that understands you, that gets you, that totally knows what you're going through, and bids you come. Bids you come. Come. There is a joy. There is a peace in the presence of God. He knows you completely, and He loves you completely. It's one thing to be loved. It's another thing to be known and then loved. He knows you. He knows everything that nobody else knows about you. He knows all that stuff too and totally loves you. And says, come before the throne of grace. I already know it. You know, no hiding anything here. Just come boldly. I see it. I already know. And I love you. And there's grace to help. Mercy. Grace to help in time of need. You know, that helps you between not knowing right now and when you do know. That there's a grace. There's a grace that's sufficient. The Apostle Paul in Philippians put it this way. He just said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so what the Apostle Paul was saying, let your requests be made known. It's fine to have questions. Just let them be made known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, passes your understanding, keeps your heart and mind in Christ. Because the most important thing that you need when you're going through something you don't understand is not the understanding. It's keeping your heart and mind in Christ until you get the understanding. And whether you get that understanding tomorrow or next year or 2 years from now or when you get home, you're going to get the understanding either way. You will get it. It's just a matter of when. And so you can rest knowing that you will have that understanding. You absolutely will. In fact, you'll have that understanding for the majority of your existence. This is the exception that you don't have it. But you will know. You'll know fully. There were things that the Apostle Paul could see ahead of time that kept his heart steady right now. To not lose heart. I think sometimes when we're going through things and we don't have understanding, sometimes we have to be careful that we don't get caught up with a wrong perspective or get caught up with questions sometimes that don't always capture, again, the big picture. Let me give you an example. When I'm reading the newspaper or I'm going on the internet or something like that, and I might see a story of some young soldier who died over there in Afghanistan or in Iraq or something like that. You know, I might read the story about that and look at it and see maybe it was sniper fire, maybe it was, you know, some raid or whatever it was or things like that. You know, when I see a story like that of a young man or a young woman or an older man or an older woman or whoever it is in uniform who's given their life for this country, I'm not caught up in how they died. I know one thing. That person lived their life for the country I live in. They gave their life in the line of duty for this country. And what do we do as a country when that happens? Do we have big theological quibbles over how? No. We come to that family's side with the flag in our hands. And we say, thank you for your precious sacrifice. We share in your mourning and we honor the precious sacrifice of your child and what they gave for this great country. We come alongside as a strength and a support, and it's an honoring thing. Honoring thing. How much more in the body of Christ, as we're all in this army of the Lord, as we're all fighting the same enemy, when people are killed or die in the line of duty, in the line of doing what God has called them to do. How much more should we as the body of Christ be rallying around and saying thank you? We are so appreciative of your precious sacrifice, your son, your daughter, whoever that was. Whether that guy died, you know, in Iraq due to a gunshot or he contracted some sickness or disease, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. They died doing what God called them to do. That's the big picture. And they love God. And that's a time to come and rally and say, thank you. Thank you. We love them too. We honor your sacrifice. To be able to treat our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Do you know it's a war zone out here? I'm not talking about what you can see. I'm talking about what you can't see. There are casualties, and we don't have all the answers and all the reasons. But I know what I know. People doing what they're called to do, following the promptings on their heart, doing everything they can do for the Lord. Whether you're a pilot, bring precious young people to an event that's going to help save young kids and get kids off the street. Amazing ministry. Whether you're a doctor, saving lives. Whether you're a homemaker, raising those children. Whatever you're doing, whatever those gifts and callings that are on the inside of you, and you're a soldier in this army and you're doing what God has called you to do, man, the issue is, praise God, precious saints who've done what God has called them to do. We as the body of Christ, that's the time for us to rally around and say, praise God. Oh, we are so, so thankful for your husband, for your wife, for your son, for your daughter. We weep with you as you weep, but we want you to know we are not spiritually, critically judging. We love you. We honor the sacrifice of that precious child of God, doing everything they knew to do to serve God to the best of their ability. Boy, there's no fault in that. All you can do is honor. You can honor those who died, however they died, in the line of duty, in recognizing they're going to be with their Lord. They're going to be with their Master. Yes, I believe that God is not the one who steals, kills, and destroys. And there's a lot of theological deal and things like that. But I'll tell you, there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger question that we've got to ask in all this. Are we properly honoring those who have died in the line of duty? Just looking at those things that are not seen and saying, praise God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for their lives. You know, you read the Apostle Paul's letters and writings. You'll see him honoring people left and right in the openings and the closings. And he's precious, honoring people, remembering their sacrifice and their labor of love. And, you know, he just honoring. Epaphroditus, who was almost done to death to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. And he said, hold men in such esteem. He almost died of sickness. He said, hold in such esteem. Because for the work of the Lord, you understand, we gotta realize, you know, it's great. I mean, in terms of resisting the enemy, resisting sickness, and that, in terms of fighting the good fight of faith. But I'm just telling you, once somebody has gone on to be with the Lord, that's behind. All that's left is to say, praise God. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for your precious son, daughter, husband, wife. We thank you for their precious contribution in the earth, in the body of Christ. I'm telling you what, God is going to pull his church together in these last days to come together as a single army, as a single unit. The greatest of these, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, is love. Love is the greatest. It's the greatest of all. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Have all faith to remove mountains. But without love, you are nothing. Do you believe that? Great opportunities when we go through these times of crisis. We go through these different times. You know, I mentioned before Luke. Man, I see Luke, when I read that about Luke, you know, in my heart, in my mind, it was just like reading about a soldier in the army of God. You know, I don't understand all the spiritual crossfire and stuff that went on, but I know here's a man of God doing what God has called him to do. And praise God. And I saw in my spirit. It's an amazing thing. You know, I pray for families to get glimpses. Well, I got a glimpse. It was pretty amazing. And I could see. When I saw it, it's like I just could see Luke in a second in my mind's eye. In that there was laugh. It was a laugh. Kind of that. It was a chuckle laugh, and joy, and yet that distinct humble spirit in his eyes that Luke Sheets had that I've never quite seen in anybody else. But just that kind of, but there was just a joy. It was like a hero. He didn't just depart and be with Christ. There was a hero's welcome when he was there. And when you get the big picture and you see it all, you know, you only know in part right now. I mean, thank God for our theology, but we got to remember, we know in part. We really know in part. And I'm telling you what, there was a joy. What I could see, it was glory, it was white, it was Luke right there, and it was just like an absolute joy. I mean, he is there in the presence of the Lord and the joy of the Lord. I mean, he is there. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I'm not hoping he's there. I've seen he's there. You can get a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the glorious of his inheritance in the saints. You can see some things, and it's like, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. There's something about just seeing things that are not seen, not with these eyes. Yeah, I've seen it. It causes me to not lose heart. There are things that the Apostle Paul saw. There's things we can see, things that will keep us steady as we're going through the shipwrecks, the stripes, the, you know, things in our life, the trials and tests in our life that keep us steady. There is more to this life than this vapor down here. I mean, when you walk out those doors, immediately you are bombarded with the glory of man and the glory of the flesh and the pleasures of the flesh. And that's why all the world is so tied down to this earth. That's why we're exhorted, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Let your mind be renewed according to those eternal destinies. Yes, change the way you're thinking. It'll give you strength. It'll give you focus, direction, purpose, courage. Praise God to do what God has called you to do. Looking at things not seen, we see eternal life. Eternal life, again, isn't something that I'm going to get when I die and go to heaven. I've got eternal life now. I've already been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. This tent is the only thing that's holding me down. And when I depart, I will be with Christ, and it will be far better than right now. I know that. I know that by the word of God. I also see that there are treasures in heaven, that the stuff that I'm doing down here is going to absolutely impact the outcome of eternity. Wow. And I will see that fruit. What I do down here will be fruit. And this is my time. This is my time to obey God. Whether it's promptings or giving of your time, finances, whatever it is, this is my time. I am playing. I'm in the game right now on this earth in these bodies. What I do is valuable. It has impact. Treasures in heaven. As I'm going through the persecution, I'm seeing the treasures. And finally, seeing face to face. There is an intellectual relief valve I have, knowing that it's okay for me to ask God all my why God questions. He bids me to. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. That's fine. In the meantime, there's a peace that he will give me that passes my understanding. Why do I have that peace? I know. I know I'm going to know. Whether I know now, whether I know 10 years from now, or whether I know when I get home. Dad's going to tell me at some point in time. And I will know forever. And ever and ever and ever and ever. And so the curiosity will be satisfied. But if I can just know, seeing those things that are not seen, that I will see face to face. So, yeah, I don't know, but it's temporary. It's very temporary. And in the meantime, I can keep focused being about the Father's business. Amen? Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for those things that are not seen. God, those things that are bigger than our eyes can see, Lord. And you tell us to set our mind on things above. You bid us to set our mind on things that are not seen, Father. We're so thankful this morning for the precious Holy Spirit who gives revelation and truth and insight. Oh, we are truly not comfortless. We thank you for the precious Comforter, of the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Father. We just pray, Lord, again, just that comforting grace over the precious Sheets family this morning. Oh, we are so thankful for that amazing family. We are thankful for the example and the light. They've been to me. Praise God. The impact, they'll just never know. Praise God. But we just surround them now with our faith and our love and just continue to show us, oh, especially in the days ahead, how to be a support, how to rally around them, to show our appreciation for that hero, Luke Sheets. Praise God, who's in your presence right now. Praise God, in the line of duty, in the line of bringing people. Praise God, in the line of bringing people to a spiritual outreach to rescue young souls. Ah, praise God for that precious man of God. Oh, we just honor his life together this morning. We share and honor that precious sacrifice of this family for the kingdom of God. A war hero, praise God, who is in your presence right now. At that hero's welcome, Father. Oh, I just thank you for the joy that's on his face, Father God. Ah, ha, 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 yeah. Praise God. It's glorious, and yet it's familiar. Hallelujah. Praise God. Same glory, same joy, same Spirit, same Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. So, Father, we just thank you again for this precious family. Oh, we just pray grace, peace, strength, comfort, Lord, by the Spirit of God over them. Help us all, Lord, to see that this life is a vapor. This is a minute exception of our existence. We're down here with a unique opportunity, like the Apostle Paul said, all right, I'm going to hang out to bear some more fruit. To see that fruit, to realize that this is our chance to make a difference. Oh, Father God, to do everything that you want us to do, to walk it out. We just thank you for every day. It is truly a gift. And we thank you for every day that we can live for you and give you all we have and serve you with all of our heart, Father God. Oh, stir in us, Lord, those things you want us to do. Awaken us, Father, those precious visions and dreams and things that maybe have been there but just need to get woken up, Father God. May we wake up and realize now is the time. Now is the time. Praise God. Praise God that whenever our time comes, that we are found in the same way, in the line of duty. Praise God. Serving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, Father. Oh, we just thank you for it. And Father, we also thank you that, praise God, as we look at things unseen, we see something called face-to-face. A face-to-face understanding. An understanding that is so complete that we will know even as we are known. We will know as completely as you know us. Amazing. We know every question we have will be completely and thoroughly answered, Father. Father, help that hope, Lord, to keep us steady now and yield to the peace that passes our understanding so that that precious peace can keep our hearts and minds in you, knowing that, Father, you're going to let us know. Whether it's tomorrow or when we get home, we're going to know. We're going to know. And so for the meantime, we just trust. We rest. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your peace, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for those things that are true and honest and just, pure and lovely, of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. Nothing more meets that bill than a precious saint of God who has given their all in all in the line of service for you. We preciously remember and honor the amazing life of Luke Sheets in this place this morning. We thank you so much for his life. We thank you for the example he gave everybody here. Praise God. I am stirred up and more challenged than ever before by that young man's example. And I thank you, Lord, for the fruit that his example will continue to bear and the legacy that he continues to leave us as this body of Christ in Door County to live all out for God, leave nothing on the table. And whatever we do in the line of duty with all our heart as unto you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the precious things that are not seen. And because of these things, we don't lose heart, but we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, the one who began this good work and the one who will complete it. Lord, continue, complete, have your will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.